Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Advertising Week Europe. My name is Ruth Mortimer, and I'm the Global President here at Advertising Week. Thank you so much for coming to this session. It's one I'm really excited about because, truthfully, if you're not in advertising and marketing to get outcomes, why are we even here? So I'm really excited to have a discussion on this topic with Andy, David and Sarah. To start off, I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves. Hopefully, they'll do a much better job. You can tell us your likes, dislikes, but hopefully mainly about what you do for work. Take it away.
Let's stick to that part. Hey, everyone, I'm Andy from Samba TV. Anyone who doesn't know us, Samba is a TV data and measurement company. So we work with a piece of technology called ACR, Automatic Content Recognition. It means we, basic terms, means we can understand viewership behavior at a TV device level. So understanding across millions of TVs globally, what people are watching, the ads they're seeing, the shows they're watching, and we're using that for measurement purposes. And my role in the business is to facilitate our commercial partnerships across Europe.
Perfect. David?
I'm Dave. I'm one of the co-founders of Adalyzer. A lot of people think we were from media. We were not from media. Me and my buddy, 15 years ago, were building apps, and we created an SMS-based app which allowed people to send a car reg into a short code and return you the vehicle history details, so the value of the car, whether it's been stolen, all that type of thing. We thought that was going to be a pure B2B product where the auto trade would use it as they went around auctions. Turned out to be a pure B2C product where people use it to check their own car, the friend's car, the wife's car. So that made us think we could be onto something here. So we started advertising it, and eventually we got an advert we put on TV. When we put it on TV, it went absolutely crackers. We became the biggest vehicle history checking service in the UK. But what we could see is that not all TV behaved the same, in the sense that when we were on motoring programs, it did really well. And when we were not on motoring programs, it didn't do as well. So we wrote a little bit of software internally to effectively line up spot data to SMS traffic, worked out what was working, went back to our media agency and said, we want to be on these shows, these day parts, these days a week. They said, how the hell do you know that? We said, we've got this little bit of kit. And they said, we could use that for some of our other clients. And it serendipitously just crossed over with the rise of e-commerce, people using TV to drive visits to a website, plugged off TextCheck, built what has now become Adalyzer, sold that into media agencies. And it's used by media agencies, broadcasters and advertisers to measure the performance of TV campaigns against outcomes. So typically website hits, mobile app downloads, that type of thing. Over the last 10 years, we've built it out, integrated with lots of bits and parts of the TV ecosystem, Barb and the broadcasters. And recently partnered up with Samba to start doing, using their data to do measurement outcomes.
Perfect. So what I understood from that, Dave, was you invented both texting and TV, and I won't hear anything different. I mean, beat that, Sarah. Come on.
Okay, right. So yeah, I'm Sarah. I head up advertising effectiveness at On Device. So On Device is a brand lift measurement company, and our mission is really to measure and enhance advertising effectiveness. We try and take the uncertainty of where you're planning, be it across TV or indeed other media. We own an app called Curious Cat, which people answer surveys from, but having that first-party relationship with our panelists, we're able to match exposures through innovative technologies, including using Samba data for TV, for example, against a person, so we can then see who's been exposed to what channel, how often, what combinations of channel, and then you can really truly then measure what's driving what effectiveness.
Okay, awesome. So you've got all the data at your fingertips that Dave doesn't have by selfishly inventing the whole industry. Okay, right, Andy, we're going to go back to you. So one of the things we really want to talk about today is the innovation in TV data and insights. There's so much that's possible that wasn't possible just a few years ago. Let's start off by setting kind of a baseline. What is the state of where TV measurement is now?
I mean, I think the point I want to pick up on quite specifically is around how there are new measurement and outcome requirements in the industry. I think to understand that, it's quite good to look at the types of brands that have come into TV the last 5-10 years. So, I mean, if you, I saw a stat from ITV, and if you're in the room, I might butcher one of your stats here, so please correct me. But the stat was a few years old, and it was that something like 1,200 new-to-TV advertisers had entered the market that year. And I think that's probably just ITV, right? So there's a whole bunch of new brands moving into this space, and I've got to assume that those are brands that were previously advertising on digital and social environments, probably because TV was financially out of reach for them.
Yeah,
it required quite big budgets to hit premium audiences. But then because TV started transacting in a different way with addressable linear and different ways of top buying and targeting on BVOD and programmatic and things like that, they're these kind of digital metrics they're very familiar and comfortable with. It allowed them to kind of transition and dip their toe in the water for TV. So that, yeah, I think that's where the influx of those brands is coming from. But because they've come from a different background and they've in some elements required more of a DR outcome-based thing because they can get that from digital, they've come to TV with those expectations. So the brands have changed because the trading mechanism changed. Because the brands have changed, the measurement requirements have changed for this particular subset. And then at that point, I think ad tech's done what ad tech does best and has spotted an opportunity to make more money. So the innovation in that space around, well, if we build better measurement products that are fit for these particular purposes, we're going to have a business. And then, of course, at that point, you hit this kind of virtuous cycle of investment where because the measurement gets better, more money comes into the ecosystem and so on, it continues. And I think that kind of thing wasn't the case 5 or 10 years ago when TV was used pretty broadly as a kind of broadcast medium. These kind of things weren't a requirement. So I think that evolution is really interesting. And I think it kind of sets a scene for that subset of the industry.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point, that big influx of people used to digital who wanted the same experience from TV. So David and Sarah, what do you think, what are some of the notable shifts you guys have seen during your time?
So I think there's been a shift in audio measurement. I think that's moved on in the way TV is consumed. So we all know that linear TV is on the decline, but people are watching TV in many, many ways. You've now got subscription TV channels that are now ad supported and so on and so on. And I think that's moved on. In terms of outcomes, I think there's still a way to go. So when we talk to advertisers, they're still using very old-fashioned methods to attribute TV. So they'll use OTS, for example, saying what channels you've watched. But because of the plethora of channels, people don't know where they've watched it. They've just known they've watched it. And equally, they use ad recall, which, again, I think is fundamentally flawed because you do remember a brand just because you are actually a customer of the brand. You're bombarded with brands. You don't know if you've seen it on TV or indeed out of home or somewhere else. So I think there's movement towards to actually get outcome, but in advertisers still use that in their market mix modelling and e-commerce tricks. So things are moving on slowly. Use of ACR that we use, for example, is to actually passively pick up people's TV exposure,
yep,
rather than, you know, someone saying they've watched something or recall seeing something. And that's the way to go because it then brings the way TV's being bought digitally back to where people, the metrics that people are used to.
Yeah, it makes sense. Dave?
Well, the two big changes for me really are quality data and availability of data. And really the appetite for broadcasters to engage with people who are interested in looking at the outcomes of TV advertising. When we started 10 years ago, we were fumbling around with spreadsheets and cobbling data together and creating a system and kind of fighting against the broadcasters. That means that what we basically have is we've got two sets of data. We've got a bunch of people hitting the website and we've got a bunch of spots which are being delivered by broadcast linear schedule. And what that forced us to do was then to create a probabilistic model, which basically looked at how changes on website traffic lined up with spots. And that allowed us to attribute stuff back. Things like Samba data allow us to do much more interesting things because it allows us to do what they call deterministic modeling, which is a fancy way of basically saying that you've got a key that's in both the website data and the broadcast schedule. And that key is common in both data sets and it allows us to join them together. And what that allows us to do is to much more accurately attribute TV, but importantly, attribute it over broader periods of time, which is very well suited to TV, where it's often you've got an advert within highly engaged programming, you've maybe made an appointment to watch a show, you're not going to respond immediately, but what the advertiser is doing is creating those kind of processing in your brain, which means that you're going to respond later. The second bit is really coming to Andy's point around the change of the type of advertiser that's on TV. You know, 10 years ago, it was all about the big brands and everything. The biggest category of TV advertisers today are the digital-first businesses. They've grown up on the digital platforms, they've succeeded on those platforms, and they're effectively using TV to try and go out and just find new audiences. That has kind of forced the broadcasters down to a route where they have to stop talking purely about audience delivery and start talking about things like outcomes, which would typically be website visits, mobile app downloads. Yeah. Now, if you look back at Future TV last December, you know, ITV were on stage there, and they were talking about, we are in the outcomes business now, we're no longer in the audience business. And the work I'm kind of doing with Sandra allows advertisers to more confidently invest in TV.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point you made about, did you call it deterministic modelling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of companies, maybe some people in the room will be thinking, we're still in the spreadsheet fumbling days.
Yeah.
But we're keen to get into deterministic modelling. So tell me what you guys are hearing from advertisers about the kind of outcomes they want to see. Maybe Andy, we'll start with you.
I mean, to be honest with you, cop out here. Talking directly to the advertisers is probably, I'm interested to hear what you guys have got to say about this. I hear it slightly secondhand, so I've kind of got a general feel for it. But when my customers...
Should we make them go first? Yeah. Good call there, Sarah.
So we talk to a lot of the advertisers, and we're seeing a shift now in where they've got their marketing frameworks, and they very much have performance metrics in there, not outcomes. So click-through rates, view-through rates, reach, frequency. But no one was actually looking long-term. And now we're finding brands are actually putting brand KPI outcomes in there. So things like consideration into their framework. So a brand we've just been working with recently, Samsung, have digital appliances, so your washing machines and your kettles and so on. And they realize actually they can't just look at short-term sales or website visits, as you're saying. They need to build the brand and look long-term. So they shifted for putting like consideration into their framework. And that was a major KPI. And then we were able to measure it. But that's what people are doing, because performance metrics aren't—they're just short term, and you need to build the brand. So new brands, the TV are realizing they have to do that. Ultimately, I guess they need to know, you know, what channel is giving them the best ROI. So, in terms of what we do, is we can look cross channel. So you don't just look at TV in isolation. You can actually say, okay, TV is doing this, out of home's doing this, and you're measuring it in a consistent way. Typically, TV was measured one way, out of home another, and so on, and all in silos. And now I'm seeing that advertisers want everything compared the same. So apples with apples, when you're looking at attribution to exposure, it has to be done in a passive way. And that's where we need to move things on, like using the ACR technology, or for out of home, we use GPS location, for example, to be able to do that. So there is a mind shift now happening with advertisers where they're putting those more outcome metrics into their framework.
And I think it's interesting you pointed out that some of them are more things like consideration that we consider traditional brand building metrics, not just performance metrics. Dave, what are you seeing that advertisers want in terms of outcome?
Well, when in the early days, outcome was all about clicks and sales and very much DRTV, so it's, you know, your classic double glazing type of calls to action, charities, that type of thing. What we're seeing now is brands who not necessarily have a direct response type ad, they are wanting to use the type of data that we can deliver to them to as a proxy in order to get engagement. So a good example would be KUKA, who basically do the good old hot tap, so you can do a cup of tea. If you think about KUKA, it's expensive, it's a considered purchase, and it's normally part of a kitchen refit. So you wouldn't necessarily put it down as a classic DRTV type product, but they do use DRTV, and the data that we sort of look at for that type of brand, you can see the enormous amount of engagement that's going on. So people are seeing the ad, they may not want to buy it immediately, but they're going to the website, they're discovering about the brand, they're looking at how much it costs, they're seeing how it works. So they can use those types of, although it's not really hard outcome metric like it's a sale, it's a proxy in order to understand how their customers are engaging with their advertising TV.
And does that line up with what you're seeing?
Me? Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to kind of hear this stuff firsthand, because I pick up on these little bits of secondhand conversations from these customers, but to hear that kind of thing, and I think the interesting thing I pick up from all of this is these we talked a lot about these new to TV brands, the advertisers, and what those requirements are. But it's really interesting for me to hear those kind of first-hand examples of kind of what felt like slightly from afar observations, kind of them being reinforced by those direct brand conversations. So it does feel like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So you mentioned their kind of real-life examples. What are the outcomes that advertisers can measure for when you start getting down the funnel and across your customer journey? And what are those data innovations that can make that happen? Can you give me some examples? I love a case study. Hit me with the case studies.
So I think brands need to know where they are on that purchase funnel from awareness through to purchase intent. So if you're a challenger brand coming into the market, your main KPI there would be awareness. If you're already established brand, then it's top of mind awareness and consideration. There's been some research by Nielsen that says actually consideration is the biggest driver of future sales. So a 1% increase in consideration leads to a 1% increase in sales at a 1% decrease in acquisition costs. So
interesting.
So a brand needs to know where it is in the funnel, and then they have to measure their brand lift to that KPI. So you could be in different stages, and you need to know where your competitors are as well. But equally important, you need to know what channel is doing what. So otherwise you can't make informed choices of where you're going to put that marketing investment. So the innovations that need to happen in data is actually the way we measure attribution to exposure. We need to have a consistent playing field. Everything's measured the same way. You can't have one modelled, one not, and so on. Otherwise you're not comparing like with like. And then an advertiser can't make informed choices to get better, effective advertising. So the innovations we've used, for example, on devices, for example, we've used the ACR technology. We've ingested MP4 TV ads into our database. We're then into Samba's database. And then what we do is we match our panel against their panel, and through IP matching we can actually say, yeah, this person was in the house at this time watching TV and this ad aired, and you've got the attribution. But equally we've used an SDK in our app where it picks up somebody's location the whole time. Every time someone moves 50 meters it picks up location, so we can overlay the lats and longs of all the out-of-home assets, for example, geofence those. So if it's a bus stop it's 25 meters, if it's the IMAX, it's 200 metres because it's better seen from afar. And we can then overlay that the right person was in the right place at the right time it aired, because obviously you've got programmatic out-of-home happening now as well. So you've got to overlay that. And then we've actually managed to get through some of the walled gardens as well. So we have meters within our app that's actually picking up people's social media usage, app usage, to your point, website visits and so on. So what you're doing is you're using technology to match it all back. But the really key thing for us is we're matching it back to a single source database, so that you can say, okay, Sarah saw it on out of home, David saw it on TV, and you can start attributing the channels across. And indeed, cross channel. Some work we've just done with Pepsi when they did their Pepsi Mango campaign in the summer was actually, if you put out of home and radio together, that gave you the highest ROI of purchase intent if you could manage to do the two together. So it just helps by doing this that people can make informed decisions. And I'm always telling the clients, you know, you test, you learn, you stick it back through the model and see how it goes to improve the effectiveness. So you need the data innovations to move along with that.
I think that's very interesting, even though this is the moment in my lifetime when I learned, Susan, that you know that I've been watching TV on the toilet, potentially here at Advertising Week, due to your excellent location tracking data. So big blow for me, but great for the industry. Dave, give us some specific examples.
We're very much TV, so we're very much focused on TV. But the interesting thing about TV is that it's become a lot more fragmented. Even the broadcasters, you know, with Sky, we've got linear, you've got the addressable ad smart, and then you've got Sky Go, which is a streaming solution. Same with Sky. And then you've got other players coming in with the fast channels and a myriad of opportunities for the advertisers and the media agencies. And what they really desire is what we've been talking about for a long time is an AV strategy, where it doesn't really matter how the 30-second ad is delivered to the viewer. What matters is that you're able to, number one, measure it across all of those different platforms. And number two, That's the key element of what you're trying to achieve. So we're working with people like Sky who are, and the broadcasters are very interested in being able to look at, if we combine different bits of our platforms, do we get a better outcome than if you advertise on a single platform? The challenge is that it's historically the trade in a very siloed way. You know, like you'd have like, you know, maybe ITV Linear, and then you'd have the ITVX, and it's siloed. So change is coming in the sense that the agency really desired this kind of AV strategy, which has a consistent methodology measuring across all the different platforms. And that's really where one of the key reasons why we kind of partnering up with Samba, because their data can help us join a lot of that stuff together.
And how do you benchmark yourself against industry standards? So one of the things, obviously, you always worry about as a marketer is how are we performing against everyone else? Andy, any thoughts?
I thought about this, honestly. I don't know. Not being facetious here, looking at where the industry is at the moment, and we just talked about how fragmented the industry is, and viewership is across linear and BVOD and walled gardens and CTV, and what people are trying to measure for. Like, the problems we've got, the challenges we've got are different to what they were 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so if we're trying to benchmark something and set expectations in a world that keeps changing, I don't know how we're supposed to have those at the moment. I kind of feel like we're almost re-establishing norms and benchmarks at this stage. So to understand what they are is really hard. So you might have two very similar advertisers running two very similar campaigns, measuring for the same thing, getting similar results, and then one being happy and one being not. Because we haven't got benchmarks in this new world, new frontier, that the expectations are off. So I think we're kind of rebuilding those. I think going through our journey now is really interesting because we are rebuilding those, but we just need to make sure we're getting it right as we do that. So I think having that consistency in the methodology of the data and of the methodology, because unless both are consistent, it's going to be a mess. And then brands can be looking at reports from two different vendors and essentially compare apples and elephants, and it's just kind of pointless. We're not going to know. So I think, I don't know, but I think we're finding out.
Yeah, which is very interesting. Dave or Sarah, do you feel like we have any benchmarks we can look to, or is it all changing too fast?
No, I think we do. So where I work, we have thousands of studies we run in a consistent way. So we're to Andy's point, it is consistent. You know, TV might be getting more fragmented and there's different ways that you can buy different media. But actually, if you're measuring it in a standard way, you can look at benchmarks. So we benchmark everything. So I think what advertisers have to realise, though, is that every category is different. So I was just picked out some benchmarks yesterday. For example, finance ads, if you're looking at consideration, we look at hundreds of studies that we've done and we form a benchmark from it. So as long as you've got kind of 10 studies with enough sample, it's big enough statistically. And for finance, an increase of 1.6% in consideration is good, is our benchmark. But if you were something looking at, I just compared it to alcohol yesterday, and that's 5.6. So I think advertisers have to realise that certain categories do really well and they need to benchmark it against that. But equally, you need to also benchmark it against the channel that you're looking at. So CTV is going to perform very differently to out of home, for example. So you've got to make sure that you are benchmarking within the category, but also within the actual media channel that you're looking at. But I think people can use those benchmarks. You know, the industry is changing, providing that you're doing it consistently and changing with it, then I think you can use those. But you need to have enough stuff to be able to be reassured that that benchmark is the correct number.
I think that's really interesting because you're talking about benchmarks in brand effectiveness and brand measurement, where there probably are more established benchmarks.
Yes, so.
I think where it's challenging is when someone looks, because you're looking at cross-media, right?
Yeah.
I think it's more challenging when someone's looking at, specifically at TV, because that isolated TV part, that's the part that's changing consistently. It's nice, though, that in some parts of this we've got an answer. It's the other parts I worry about.
Yeah, so within the TV measurement, we do split out, for example, CTV, VVOD, linear, and so on. And we are forming benchmarks as we go on. But you're right, the data is new. You know, we've only been doing that, since September with yourselves. So you have to build those up and get those benchmarks. But yes, you're right.
You're right, and as you say, Susan and in Samba TV are doing some of that kind of really forward thinking stuff. Let's look forward for a moment because we've only got about 5 minutes left. When you look at kind of what's happening, what's going to happen, broader industry initiatives, things like Project Origin, are we seeing meaningful innovation?
I'll go. I mean, I think there are probably two major broader initiatives worth talking about. So Origin, definitely. Yep. It would be weird to have this conversation about talking about C-Flight in some capacity, I think, as well. So I think both of these kind of need, you know, nods and recognition for what they're doing here. But let's understand that those are obviously two very different things, serving different purposes, different states of maturity, right? I think what C-Flight are doing for bringing together Linear and BVOD is great from a broadcast perspective, operated by BAR being part of a gold standard. I think that's really exciting. Then the Origin part, I think, is more of a we're excited about what's going to come.
So, and for people who don't know what Project Origin is, because it sounds like space flight and really cool, but just in case you don't know.
So Project Origin is the cross-media measurement solution that's been spun out of ISBAR, the Association of Advertisers. So what they're trying to create is, it's not specifically for TV, it is for cross-media measurement, but they're looking at how they can build out the whole thing. So they're getting investment from the brands, the publishers, the platforms, the agencies, the walled gardens. You know, everyone's getting invested in this, and pretty high-profile names, you know, Google and all the big platforms to sign up to it. So the backing behind it, I think, is really interesting. I don't think they're due to launch out their minimum viable product until probably end of the year, yep, which is why I'm excited about what's to come. I mean, from a personal selfish perspective, I'm excited about the fact that Samba's ACR data is kind of part of that early testing phase to see how that ACR, millions of TV panelists, etc., can feed into that piece and establish that. So I think there's a real potential to drive meaningful innovation for it. I'm excited to see what comes out of that. Fingers crossed.
And what would you guys say? What are the things you're really excited about seeing?
On the Project Origin stuff, I think we probably come from a different angle. We're kind of very much a startup mentality, whereas the Project Origin stuff is all around committees and big things and big ideas. And if you look at the website and their North Star, it's all kind of silently capturing data in a privacy way and all the rest of it. So it sounds very ambitious to us, and we're much more in the kind of more of the scrappy kind of just get tech working and see what happens. I hate things which are going to be in the future. I always want things that are kind of right now. So when everybody's promising stuff that it's going to minimum viable product next year, I was a little bit skeptical because I've been coming to these conferences for like 10 years. I've heard that a lot of times.
I think you feel like a very practical man, Dave. You already invented texting and TV. You can't wait for Project Origin to catch up. What about you, Susan?
Sarah, yes. So Project Origin is obviously looking at the audience side of things. So it's looking cross-media across the different audiences and what reach and frequency you get. That then plays into what we do in terms of what channels people have been exposed to. And I think in the future, the two should sort of marry together. So you can say, so actually advertisers can see what is the best combination. Is it out of home and radio? Yeah. Is it TV and something else? And they can start making informed decisions. So I think in the future, the two of sort of measuring audiences and measuring outcomes in terms of brand lift should join together and say it just helps advertisers make better informed decisions, making their advertising more effective.
Yeah, and I think that's a very exciting future. So if you had to give everybody in the room one piece of kind of meaningful advice that they can leave with, let's start with you, Sarah. What would you say to them that they could do today?
For me, I think it's to measure cross-media TV passively. Make sure you're measuring the different channels in the same way, and then matching that back to a single source, I think, is the best way to go. And it takes all the sort of complexity out of that planning. So I think that's the way forward.
Great. Dave?
I think I would be very much expectations. So, you know, a lot of times you come onto these kind of things and people believe that there's a holy grail there and it's within touching distance. The reality is that the world is very fragmented. TV is definitely very fragmented. Some people are pulling it together. But the outcomes are kind of so more like signposts and directions rather than this is kind of the answer, I think. So expectation management.
Great. Andy?
The clock's flashing red at me, so it's going to be a short answer. I think make sure that the solutions you're using are fit for your purpose. I think it may be that some brands have legacy measurement providers that are very good at measuring for outcome A, but if they're going to start measuring for outcome B, is that same vendor still right? Do they have the right data and methodology and solutions for that other outcome? To making sure that you've got the right data and right methodologies for that new piece, make sure it's fit for purpose.
Great. And thank you, guys, because I think what you've done is bring a lot of practical advice and sense to a really fast developing area that's changing super rapidly. So I took from that, Sarah said, remember to measure passively so that you can really make sure that you're truly understanding what that data is telling you. Dave, as the world's most cynical man, you thought to yourself, there's fragmentation, let's be careful with what we take from this data, which is always a good rule for marketers. And Andy, you guys at Samba TV, you're pushing the revolution. Let's make it happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.